All right, get ready because this deep dive is going to blow your mind.
Oh.
We're diving into physics and AI.
Not.
You know, when they announced this year's Nobel Prize in physics, I was like, all right, black holes, quantum mechanics, the usual.
Right.
But guess what?
What?
Machine learning won.
Wow. Yeah, that definitely raised some eyebrows,
Right? Yeah.
Machine learning and a physics prize.
Totally. Not the first thing you think of.
Not at all.
But the more I looked into it, the more I realized there's this crazy link between AI and get this dot magnets.
Magnets, yeah. It's a connection that goes all the way down to like the smallest stuff, electrons.
Really?
Yeah, those tiny things spinning around atoms, they're like mini magnets themselves. They can spin up or down. And those two states, basically, they're nature's ones and A's.
Whoa, wait. So, like the ones and zeros in my computer?
Exactly. Think of
Yeah.
your hard drive. It stores information by arranging these electron magnets in like specific patterns. And how those patterns form, it's all about energy.
Energy. Oh, cool.
Like, you know how water flows downhill
Yeah.
to the lowest point?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Those electrons, they arrange themselves to hit that lowest energy state.
So my computer's storing data using the same physics as magnets.
It is, yeah. And this whole idea how magnetic systems work,
Yeah.
it's what sparked some of the first AI models.
Oh, wow.
Things like a Hopfield network.
Hopfield networks. Sounds complicated.
It might sound that way, but the idea is actually pretty simple.
Okay.
Picture like a network of those tiny electron magnets all interacting with each other.
Okay, yeah.
Now, you show this network a pattern, could be like a picture. And what happens is the network, through all those little interactions,
Yeah.
it'll settle into a low energy state.
Okay.
And that state represents the pattern.
So it's like memorizing it.
Exactly. It's memorizing by finding the most stable arrangement of those tiny magnets.
And then what?
The cool part is these networks can then pull up those memories,
Wow.
even if you only give them part of the pattern or messed up version.
So, like remembering a face, even if you only saw it for a second,
Yeah, like that.
that's pretty impressive. But there's got to be some downsides, right?
Oh, definitely.
Magnets aren't perfect.
No, you're right. Hubfield networks, they're cool, but they have limits.
Like what?
Well, one big thing is how much they can remember.
Okay.
There's only so many patterns they can store before things get mixed up.
Ah, I see.
And it can also get confused if patterns are too similar.
Right.
Like imagine trying to remember the names of identical twins.
Yeah, good point.
So they're good at storing stuff, but not quite as flexible as our brains.
Yeah, like a good filing cabinet, but not the whole deal.
Exactly. They're great with specific information,
Yeah.
but they can't, come up with something totally new.
Right.
So how do we get from filing cabinet to something more like, the human mind?
That's where things get even more interesting.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
And it involves turning up the heat.
Wait, heat, like literally heating up the computer.
Not literally, haha.
Okay, good. Don't want to fry my laptop.
Yeah, no worries. This is a different kind of heat. It's how we get to something called a Boltzmann machine.
Boltzmann machine. All right, that sounds like a major upgrade.
It is.
Tell me more.
Okay, so imagine you're baking a cake.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want your oven stuck at just one temperature.
No way.
Yeah.
Gotta adjust the heat, get that perfect rise, the
Oh,
texture,
stick it. Oh,
all
yeah.
that good stuff.
That's kind of like a hot field network.
Oh,
It's
okay.
stuck at one temperature, too rigid.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So a Boltzmann machine is like an oven with a dial.
Exactly. A hot field network always goes for that lowest energy state, that stable pattern.
Right.
But a Boltzmann machine, it adds temperature to mix things up.
Temperature in a computer network, though, how does that even work?
Okay, think of it this way. In the real world, like a pot of boiling water,
Okay, yeah.
temperature, it's the average energy of all those molecules bouncing around.
Makes sense.
Higher temperature, more energy, more chaos.
Gotcha.
In a Boltzmann machine, temperature brings randomness to the network.
So it can explore more.
Exactly. It can jump out of those low energy ruts and find new, maybe more interesting patterns.
So it's like adding a little creative chaos into the mix.
Exactly. And with that extra heat, Boltzmann machines can do something Hopfield networks couldn't.
What's that?
They can generate new data based on the patterns they've learned.
Oh, well, hold on. So not just storing memories, but creating new stuff.
Yeah, less like a filing cabinet, more like an artist's studio.
That's a huge difference. So are Boltzmann machines the secret behind like ChatGPT?
Not exactly the same algorithm,
Yeah.
But they're definitely related. Those Boltzmann machines, they were like the prototypes.
The early versions.
Yeah, they laid the groundwork for the fancy generative AI we have today.
Like they proved this magnet-inspired system could create, not just store.
Exactly.
This is really making me see AI in a whole new way. It's not just code, it's like connected to the laws of physics.
It is. And that's what's so cool about this Nobel Prize. It shows that understanding intelligence, even artificial intelligence,
Yeah.
it's tied to understanding the physical world. But it brings up some interesting questions.
No, like what?
Well, if AI is grounded in physics, are there limits to how smart it can get? Like there are laws of physics governing the universe.
Yeah.
Could there be limits to AI too?
Whoa, that's a trippy thought. Like, even artificial intelligence can't escape physics.
Exactly. And it makes you think maybe intelligence itself,
Okay.
both biological and artificial, comes from those fundamental laws.
So not just complex computation, but like how matter and energy interact at the most basic level. That's kind of blowing my mind. So instead of building AI from scratch, maybe we need to study the physics of intelligence itself.
And that's what a lot of researchers are doing.
Really?
They're looking at how those early physics-inspired AI models have evolved, how they've been adapted and refined to handle today's AI challenges.
So they were like stepping stones, those early models with their limitations.
Exactly. They
Yeah.
provided the foundation, the inspiration for the incredible AI advancements we see today.
And by understanding those early models and how they're tied to physics, we can maybe grasp the true possibilities
Slash.
and even the limits of artificial intelligence.
It's a fascinating journey.
I'm hooked. So how did those early models, with their limitations,
Right.
become the AI powerhouses we use every day?
Well, let's start with how they handle data. Remember those electron spins, like ones and zeros?
Yeah.
Real-world data is way more complex than that.
Of course,
It's
yeah.
colors, sounds, textures, meanings.
So much more than just ones and zeros.
Exactly. And those early models, they struggled with that kind of complexity.
They need an upgrade, huh?
They did. Researchers realized these networks needed to handle continuous data,
Okay.
information that's on a spectrum, not just ones and zeros.
So giving them a bigger toolbox to work with.
Yeah, like giving them a richer palette to capture all the nuance of the real world.
Makes sense. What about all those tangled connections in the early models? You mentioned that made them slow.
Ah, yes, the spaghetti code problem.
Yeah.
Well, they got inspiration from, you guessed it, nature.
Okay.
Think about the human brain.
Billions of neurons.
Right, but they're not all connected to each other.
So there's like an organization to it.
Exactly, there's structure. And researchers started doing the same thing with AI networks.
Making them more organized.
Yeah, introducing sparsity into those connections for a more streamlined architecture.
Less tangled, more efficient.
Exactly, like comparing a jumbled mess of wires
Yeah.
to a clean circuit board. Both work, but one's way more efficient.
And then there was the hardware limitation.
Well, definitely. But then came GPUs and TPUs.
Those specialized chips for AI.
Yeah, those gave the networks the muscle they needed.
So it was like a perfect storm, better algorithms, better structure, and way more powerful hardware.
Precisely. It's how those early models became the AI we know today.
And that evolution is still going, right?
It is constantly changing. But what's amazing is
Yeah.
those core concepts from the physics of magnets, they're still relevant today.
Okay, now I'm really curious. How do those early ideas show up in modern AI?
They do, you got
Okay,
it.
but examples, please. How does this magnet stuff show up in the AI I use like every day?
Okay, let's talk about attention mechanisms. You've probably heard that term.
Vaguely, yeah, it's in those large language models, right?
Exactly. Like, what powers ChatGPT?
Oh, okay, so what do they do?
They basically let the AI focus on the important parts of information,
Interesting.
just like we do, when we're reading or listening.
So instead of giving every word, every little detail the same weight,
Yeah.
these mechanisms help the AI zero in on the key stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And those early models, the physics-based ones, they were already kind of hinting at that idea.
Really?
Remember how they settled into those low-energy states to represent patterns?
Yeah, like finding the most stable arrangement.
Right. Well, that's like a basic form of attention.
Okay.
It's a way of highlighting what's most important.
So those early models, with their roots in magnets,
Yeah.
they might have predicted how our brains work.
It's possible. And it's not just attention. There's also diffusion models,
Diffusion
the
models.
ones that create super realistic images from text.
Oh, yeah, those are crazy good.
Right. They also have a link back to those physics-based networks.
Okay, I'm not seeing it. How are magnets and making pictures related?
Think about how those early models worked. They started random and gradually got to a stable state that represented a pattern.
Yeah.
Diffusion models, they do something similar. They start with a noisy image, like visual static, and then slowly clean it up,
Interesting.
Removing the noise, revealing a clear image based on the text you give it.
So they're kind of like reversing what those early models did.
Exactly. From chaos to order, now it's noise to a clear image.
That's amazing. So those early concepts inspired by magnets and energy states, they're showing up in some of the most advanced AI today.
It's really quite remarkable how it's all connected.
I'm seeing a pattern here. It's like physics is built into the DNA of AI.
I think that's a great way to put it. From those early models to the mind-blowing stuff we have now.
This whole deep dive has been incredible. It's made me rethink what physics even is.
In what way?
It's not just about, like, stars and planets.
No, it's bigger than that.
It's about those fundamental rules that govern everything.
Everything, yes.
Including, it seems, intelligence itself.
And who knows what else we'll find as we keep exploring this connection.
Right.
Between physics and AI, I mean.
Yeah, maybe the key to truly intelligent machines is hidden in the laws of the cosmos.
It's an exciting thought, isn't it? That we might find those answers by looking at the universe itself.
Absolutely mind-blowing. Thanks for taking us on this incredible journey into AI and physics.
It's been a pleasure. Always happy to talk about this stuff.
Until next time, everyone, keep those minds curious.